Hey, it's Lauren Fox, the host of Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. Andrew Hansen and I have the week off, so take a moment and enjoy some highlights from some of our past shows. Welcome back to Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. Lauren Fox.
Andrew Hansen.
And we are joined by Bedford High, I guess, recent alum would be the best way to put it, Jeff Mosso, who is at St. John's. However, was slated to pitch on the baseball team in the spring. We'll get to some of the reasons why he will not be pitching in the spring in a little bit. But, Jeff, you're home for winter break from your freshman year at St. John's. How has college been so far?
So far, college has been awesome. Fortunate enough to have a really good training staff and a really good coaching staff at school. And my teammates have been great. They welcomed all the freshmen in very open-heartedly, and it's been awesome so far.
That's great to hear, and I'm guessing you mentioned the training staff in part because obviously you're dealing with an injury, and the plans for your freshman year haven't gone quite as planned after your stellar senior year at Bedford when you were named first-team All-State as a pitcher. You had an injury this summer, so tell us about that and how it happened.
So I was feeling a little bit of elbow pain in the winter. I didn't think it was anything too serious. I just thought it was tightness, and then it started to get worse and snowball a little bit. And so the back end of my senior year, and then I took a little bit of time off before I joined the Nashville Silver Knights. And started on July 28th, I started against the Martha's Vineyard Sharks, and then I just felt it go on one pitch and ended up tearing my UCL and having to get tonic down surgery.
Oh, no kidding. I didn't know that you'd been dealing with some elbow soreness through the spring. So you had some consistent soreness in your senior year, but then you had this one pitch where you sort of was it that you heard a pop or you felt something?
I didn't really feel a pop, but I definitely felt a really big tug is what I how kind of how I describe it. But something was wrong, so I took myself out of the game after that and got checked out by the trainer, and we decided that I should go ahead and get an MRI and meet with Dr. Rowe down at Mass General, and he diagnosed it as a torn UCL.
And so then we understand that you went ahead and had the Tommy John surgery this summer. So what has your rehab process been like since then?
It's been all right. Some days are tougher than others. I've been in the training room about four or five times a week, and I'm working with the special PTs about two times a week. But so far it's going smoothly, and I just started to throw again. Kind of almost a month in, and it's felt awesome so far.
That's great to hear that you're throwing again. So where are you sort of in, you know, throwing strength in terms of trying to get back towards 100%?
So right now I'm on an interval throwing program, which means just working my way out. Right now I'm at 90 feet, about 50 throws, and then it gets more throws at 90 feet, and then I stretch it out a little more to 120, then 150 to 180. And then I'll return back to the mound around April, May time, and then I should be on track to pitch in a game again in maybe late July, but definitely targeting my comeback as September.
So, yeah, that sort of makes sense with what we all understand the timeline to usually be for Tommy John of approximately a year. And you mentioned kind of pushing through it and the mental side of this. You know, how are you dealing with this mentally, and, you know, are you thinking about certain things as you're going through this rehab multiple times per week to try to motivate you to get back on the mound?
Being away from the mound is not fun, especially going to a school like St. John's where all the pitchers are at the next level and they're really good. It's definitely hard. It takes a little bit away from I'm not able to compete, kind of earn my spot at St. John's, but I'm fortunate enough to have the best teammates in the world, and there's some guys on the team that have gone through it, and they help me push through it every day. And any questions I have, they answer it. So it helps a lot mentally there.
That is great. And now that you're in the thick of it, you know, we're wondering about any advice you have for others, because we've got a teammate on our basketball team who just tore his ACL. So he's facing a long rehab.
Not as long, though. The UCL is special. I mean, in ACL, you can be back from at full strength 4 or 5 months, depending. The UCL is one that it's a long process, and it's one that anytime you talk to anybody, and Hanson played pro ball, and I broadcast in pro ball for some time, you talk to guys who are coming back from it, it's a lot like a microcosm of life. Like sometimes things go great, and then you have it, then all of a sudden you have a setback, and you say, all right, how do I build back up to where I was again? So for you, a few months in, what advice would you give to others in the process?
To definitely not rush it. That's kind of something I did in the beginning, was I was so anxious to get my arm brace off and to start doing baseball activities again. But just to take it slow in the beginning, because it's going to work. It's going to work wonders in the long run. And then just stay consistent. You can't really take any days off with ACL, UCL surgery, which I never really took any days off, but I could definitely tell if I was a little bit, I rested for a little bit too long, it would get too tight, and then it would get really uncomfortable. So that's definitely some of the advice I'd give.
We're joined by Jeff Mosso, the standout pitcher for Bedford last spring, now at St. John's, going through the rehab process. And when you talk about advice for others, and that's great to hear. And then we're also curious about advice you've gotten about your particular situation. And as you're going through this process, you're talking to doctors, you're talking to teammates, is there anything that you're going to do in the future with your training, your workouts, your arm, your elbow, to try and make sure that you don't have an injury like this in the future?
Definitely going to work on my shoulder strength a lot more. My shoulder strength in my left arm is a little bit weak, and that may have been one of the reasons why I got Tommy John surgery, but definitely a lot more working on my arm after, definitely taking care of it more, getting it worked on by the PT at school will definitely help prevent the surgery again, and then to stay healthy and throw harder and harder as I get older.
Yeah, we sure hope that it comes out like that for you and you're stronger than ever. So when you first get out there with your St. John's teammates, let's talk a little bit about the program. They came off another trip to the NCAA Division I Baseball Regional last spring. Tell us about your coach and the successful program that he has built there.
Coach Blankmeyer, he's definitely the best coach I've ever had. He really understands what it takes for a player to develop and what it takes for that player to get to the next level. He definitely really knows how to win. He got a lot of wins in the past couple of years. He understands the process with my elbow. He understands everything that a college student is going through, because he's been around for a long time. He's definitely the best resource I could have. I wouldn't want it any other way.
That's great to hear that he's been through it and he understands it. So he's perfectly comfortable being patient with you and understanding that it's going to be a long process, and he's not putting any pressure on you to get back sooner than you'd be comfortable. He's fully supportive of you in that way.
Exactly. Yep.
That's great to hear. Now, one other thing about the program is I noticed when you're working out that St. John's t-shirt you had with the phrase 54 outs on it. So how does everyone on the team talk about 54 outs at St. John's?
To us, that just means that we got to play a complete game, stay locked in every inning, even if we're up big and even if we're down by a lot. We just got to play a complete game, give it all you got for all 54 outs of the game. And then if we stay locked in for all 54 outs, good things are going to happen. So that's kind of the motto we go by at St. John's.
Makes perfect sense. And it's, usually people think of it along the lines of 27 outs. Like all we have to do is get 27 outs. But what he's trying to do is say, okay, on both sides, whether we're hitting, whether we're on defense, it's you want to finish the game.
Yep. Yep. That's exactly what you got to pitch and play defense. I pitch and hit.
Yep.
It's kind of what we work on every day.
So we are joined by Jeff Mosso, the ace of the Bedford High staff last year, who is now at St. John's, and your brother Avery will be playing baseball at St. A's, but he's still got one more year at Bedford High School. Is he ready to follow in your footsteps on the staff this spring?
Yeah, he's been working extremely hard this offseason, battling through a little bit of injury on his hips, but I don't think it's anything serious. He'll be one to watch this year. He's going to be really good.
And it should be a lot of fun for you, too, at the end of the season. Hopefully they're still in the middle of their playoff hunt, and you're back from school. You can come back and cheer them on.
Yep, I'm hoping that that's the case. So I get to watch him play for one more year in high school.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate the time. Thank you for joining us, and best of luck the rest of the year at school and of course, with the rehab, too.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Take care, Jeff.
You too.
That was Bedford High grad, recent grad, Jeff Masso. And you've seen him at the gym, so, of course, you know a lot of his past experience from seeing him there. I have to imagine, though, it's pretty tough, and it seems like he's dealing with it very well, just kind of dealing with the injury and the rehab pieces of it.
Well, the thing that really surprised me is that I saw him at the gym this summer after he had sustained the injury, and at that point he actually didn't know yet for sure what the extent of the injury was, so he didn't know if he'd have to have Tommy John. Next thing I know, I think I talked to Avery and found out that he indeed had the Tommy John. But again, that was like mid to the end of the summer. And then I saw him last week at the gym, and he's doing these rows with some pretty decent weight. And I was just surprised that he was, you know, that far advanced in his recovery to be lifting, you know, substantial weights, and to hear him say that he's throwing at 90 feet. It's just great. You know, it seems like he's a little bit ahead of schedule, and it's just such a tough way to start off your career in college. I mean, you know, he's playing in a high profile summer league, gets this devastating injury for a pitcher, and he's, you know, thought for years about taking the jump to the next level, playing Division I baseball, and he's got to sit on the sidelines for a year.
Yeah, I have to imagine that's difficult. And then the other, I guess, there are a few things at play. First of all, back in the day, Tommy John surgery was for a lot of pitchers, I mean, it was a career ender back in the, of course, before Tommy John surgery, it was obviously a career ender. You think about guys like Sandy Koufax and others, and Tommy John had it done in 1974 and used to joke about his arm being old enough to have a bar mitzvah when he was still pitching in the 80s. But he was truly a pioneer, and here we go. If Harold Baines is going to be in the Hall of Fame, I think Tommy John deserves to be in the Hall of Fame as well, for the lasting contributions that he's made to the game. But aside from that, I look back to even 10, 15 years ago, the arduous rehab that a guy would have to undergo to overcome Tommy John and the work that he had to do to get back. And the rehab is still difficult, but every day orthopedic surgeons and physical therapists are learning more about what it takes to bring a guy back from Tommy John and ensure that not only does he not lose velocity, but that he gains velocity after the surgery. So it's almost, in a lot of ways, it's become a rite of passage for a lot of these guys.
Yeah, it really has. And he's fortunate to have the medical advances that are in place now and to have people around him who know about it, and his coach is supportive. You know, I actually had surgery in college. After my freshman year, I tore the labrum in my shoulder. And I just did sort of rehab with no surgery for my sophomore year. But then I had surgery my sophomore summer. But the thing about it for me was I didn't have to miss a season in the spring.
Right.
I with the torn labrum, what I could do was rehab from the summer to the spring. And then my junior year, I was ready to go on opening day. And so that's why I got to tip my cap to Jeff that he's got to, you know, he was there in fall ball this year with St. John's, and he's got to sit on the sidelines and watch, knowing that he doesn't get to pitch in the spring. And to have it be that full year of rehab, it's just such a mental grind. So, you know, I'm glad it is going so well for him, and I'm glad that he's got that environment where they're getting him back on the hill as quickly as possible, and they're ready for him in the spring of 2020.
Yeah, and again, for pitchers, though, it has changed from what it was, and the coaches know that, too. The coaches also know that, hey, this is something that we're ultimately going to get what we were expecting out of it. It's just delayed a little bit. And, hey, it's no longer there's no stigma attached to it. It's, hey, you were hurt, you're back, you're good. And there have been enough major league guys who have emerged, and even minor league guys. I think about a guy that I used to work with in Kansas City named Caleb Balbuena, who had been a low 90s guy, went, had Tommy John, came back, and he's throwing 96, and all of a sudden major league scouts are looking at an indie ball guy and saying, hey, this guy is no longer a roster filler guy. Like, this guy might be a major league prospect. And he went from an indie ball guy to a prospect after Tommy John. That's not a foreign concept at this point. This isn't a strange thing that it happened. So coaches, I think, are more willing to look at a guy who's post-op and say, hey, we're going to do what we can because we know what you could do, and we're confident that you can get back there again. I mean, it's the old adage. You want to keep the customers you got. You want to keep the players you got, like, because they're known commodities. The evil you know better than the evil you don't.
Yeah, I mean, I feel fortunate to have had the procedures in place, and the orthopedic surgeon I got to work with, even when I had my procedure done, which was in the summer of 2000, and, you know, back in the 70s, 80s, whether it was a pitcher with the elbow or a running back with the knee, it was one injury like this and your career is over.
Yes.
So we're both fortunate to have the injuries take place now. And that, you're right, you know, Jeff's got a good situation to come back and potentially be throwing even harder.
Yeah, so it will be fun to follow him. I guess I didn't know about the labrum tear that you had had. From everything that I have heard, and because, I mean, you'd see guys who would come through indie ball after having been big-time prospects. The labrum tear is a severe one with a long rehab that's associated with it as well. So to me, it's surprising that you were able to do it in the summer and come back in the spring.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. And the thing is, you know, when you're a left-handed hitter and it's your right shoulder, it's your front shoulder.
Yeah, you're turning.
And if you let go of your top hand at any point during the swing, like I did, it puts a lot of pressure on that front shoulder. And so for that first spring that I played with the injury and just did the rehab without the surgery, it was just trying to get it back to 80-85% to be able to play. But then I don't know what it is about the labrum specifically, or maybe it was because it was a small tear that, yeah, I was able to have the surgery in the summer and do basically 6 months of rehab. You know, every day you're doing these little exercises with these devices that certainly did not exist back in the 60s and 70s.
Right.
And basically like plyometrics for your shoulder. And apparently with the labrum, you know, it's just different. You can get back out there in about 6 months.
Hey, it's Lauren Fox, the host of Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. Andrew Hansen and I have the week off, so take a moment and enjoy some highlights from some of our past shows. By the time those who are listening to the show on Sunday night will hear this, the Patriots will know their fate.
Yes, they will. Finally.
Whether they will go on for another week, we shall see. So we're actually acting like we're a real radio talk show. We're going to be joined by Bedford High hockey coach Glenn Fifield, girls hockey coach. So hang on.
Patch him in.
Coach, you there?
Yes, I am. How you doing, Lauren?
Doing well. How are you?
Very good.
Good. We're actually running this thing like a real talk show, like we were in the middle of talking about something, and then the phone rang, and there you go. So you're being recorded right now.
Okay.
So are you ready?
I'm ready to go.
All right. We're here with Bedford High girls hockey coach Glenn Fifield. And coach, thank you. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Lauren.
So I have Andrew Hansen with me as well. And year two, of course, you guys were the feel-good story last winter, starting things up from scratch. Great group of girls and just a wonderful thing to see. A lot of people had said going in, hey, you're going to be lucky to score goals in year one, and you guys were winning games in year one. But what did you learn in year one that was the most important?
Actually, I learned that we have a tremendous amount of support building off that from the school and the community. As a first year high school coach, there are a lot of puzzle pieces to put together and to create that girls culture in the community. Corey Parker was right there always supporting the program, and as well as all the members of the boys hockey community. So it just, the amount of support, was tremendous, and I just learned how much of a hockey culture is truly right there in Bedford.
Well, it's almost indicative of how the community can get behind things as well. And even I think back to last March when Tim Schaller came out to the bank and the girls were there and ready to meet him and had the meet and greet, and they were every single one of them on the team was happy to be there and as polite as can be, and just a wonderful representation of the program as a whole.
Yes, that's part of our culture to where it is. It goes beyond just hockey. It goes to where we are as citizens and everything else within the community. And it really, I know it's sports and it's high school and competitive, but they do truly have a great time doing what they're doing.
That's it's a lot of fun. So in year one, of course, there were some wins, not always expected, and a lot of goals too. But what were some of your favorite moments during the season?
One of them, and it doesn't even come from gameplay, but one of them comes from, we had a combined practice with the boys' JV that Marty invited us to. And what really came out of that was a new level of compete and a new way to practice for the girls that they really understood where they, as they were just learning to skate, it actually taught them the next level that they could really get themselves to. So that was really one of those, a fine moment for me. Another one is how much the girls really loved the game for the sake of playing the game. It didn't matter what the score was or what was happening on there. They were always excited, ready, and giving their best and ready for the next shift, no matter what.
One of my favorite memories, Coach, was I went to the last game of the year and I saw the girls afterwards interact with the crowd, and it was one of those moments that I'm sure the players and coaches and fans will remember as the, you know, positive end to that first season. And here you are now in year two. And, you know, one of the key components of your squad has been Maddie Lucantoni, because she was your captain last year as a junior. Now she's one of three captains this year. So how do you get those younger players who are less experienced up to speed?
Really with the structure of our practices and the support of volunteer coaches beyond myself and my assistant coach, Marissa, beyond that, in the structure of our practice, we are able to break down the team into smaller groups and coach those groups to each skill set to where they're at. So we can really, depending on what the skill set of the group has, we can really push them to excel. So they're building their own skill sets. And then when we get into a team play, they work into the team play and push each other in that way.
So as it pertains to Maddie and your other senior goalie, or your senior goalie, Hannah Paradise, you're losing both of them after the season. That's going to be a tough leadership void to fill ultimately.
Yeah, and actually, as Andrew said, we have three captains this year, in addition to Maddie and Hannah, with senior Carly Tishon. They've all done a tremendous job as liaisons for the coaching staff, really going between working with us and communicating with us and us to them, in between the team, and that's how I've really set up the team and communications with the team. But we have a strong culture of support within our team for each other and team members, and I feel that they've done a great job, and we've worked with them to really look for the next group of leaders within the team and mentor that next group, so it's not a void or a vacuum that's being filled afterwards. It's actually that next one has already been mentored into it with an understanding of what their role would be coming in. Players don't know who it is, but it's just a matter of they're always on the horizon and we're looking for them and mentor those type of leaders that we see.
It's always one of the toughest things about a high school program is by the time they're completely ingrained in the culture, they're no longer part of the program.
Yeah, and actually, I mean, the good thing is last year we had two freshmen that were on a varsity program. Again, this year we have two more freshmen that are on the varsity program. So those girls will be right with us right through like 4 years of the program starting right out. So culture-wise, as we go forward and with not having a JV program, that culture will be easily carried up as we develop freshmen right into our program. So the culture, it won't be just a 1 or 2 year thing. We'll be able to have that as a 4 year thing.
And that makes your life way easier as the coach. We're here with Bedford High girls hockey coach Glenn Fifield, who is in year two, and the program's in year two. But we discussed this last year, and others have let me know that you have some first-year skaters on the roster. So it's the challenge of some of the more experienced players who have been there and played in travel programs and some who are really just learning the game from the ground or from the ice up. How do you keep the more experienced players engaged while ensuring that the greener ones develop at a rapid rate?
We really have clear expectations that are spoken within classroom time and on the ice to where it is to our experienced players. And those same expectations are spoken to our new players. This year, we only have one new skater. And the good part is within our development this year, the girls have really pushed themselves in the off season and really developed their skating. So we went from where last year, we'll call it the learn to skate kind of program, to now it's really developed into as we develop into gameplay and not understanding where they are. So they've really advanced. They took the off season real serious and really worked on their skating skills. And it's allowed us to really develop as a team and start to get a better team understanding with team play and not just so much focus on skating skills.
Coach, during the off season, you mentioned the girls working on their skating. Are there any of your players who participate on travel teams where they're getting a lot of games in during the off season?
There was unfortunately not as many that were there or available. A lot of them play fall sports, and with them starting out to join a travel team, where their skill sets are, it was hard for them to fit into a travel team early on. I'm hoping in the second year with their gameplay understandings higher that they can fit into a travel team. There was four players that played either club or rec program in the fall.
So it makes it tough for them because it's not obviously a year-round sport. And even for somebody who's an athlete, hockey really isn't an easy game. Skating is a super unique skill. If you were going to recruit junior high girls to play, what advice would you give them if they're not coming to you from a travel program?
Get out public skating and pond skating as much as you possibly can. I'm like, that. There's the fun. I'm like, you can get out there and not worry about the exposure to things. There are learn to skate programs out there. Actually, last year in the fall, I put together a high school development program for girls of all within the area that anybody that wanted to join to help really work on the skill sets of leading into the high school programs. It just really focused on skill sets with puck handling and skating skill sets. But those junior high players, I would say, if you're interested in it, find a learn to skate, get out there public skating, skate with your friends whenever you get a chance to, just get out there doing some old school pond skating.
Yeah, there's nothing better than a good pond skate on a nice cold day. So for you, what are some of the bright spots so far this year? The team's got three wins so far. What's the outlook for the remainder of the season?
The outlook's bright. I think we've played some hard games lately and given up some stuff, but we're a very resilient team, and we've overcome some serious adversities and tragedies, but it's made us stronger as a unit early on in the season, so it's really brought us together. There's no real complacency within the girls, so they're always pushing and striving, and I look to the second half of our schedule and really see some moments when we can really flourish as a team as we, again, build to develop and work as a team, and they gain that gameplay understanding and push themselves towards that. And with each game, they gain more and more confidence, which is huge, which is really key, especially the way the coaching staff works with them to bolster their confidence.
Well, I remember having the same feeling last year when we interviewed you about the passion and the excitement that you bring and how fortunate the girls are to have a coach like you and a coaching staff like you've assembled to lead them into hopefully what's ultimately a lifelong love of the game of hockey.
Yeah, it was funny because one of the seniors that had graduated, came by to our game last night and she visited us, Kara Rapp. She came by she's like, "There's where she's going out in California, there's no ice, there's no frozen water, there's nothing." And she's like, she was at the game and she missed it so much just watching our game. And she actually is like, she said she was more nervous watching our game with anxiety than she was actually taking her finals before she came home.
Yeah.
So she definitely grew into the passion for the sport.
It's, I'll tell you, as a kid coming from Southern California to here, I had never skated on a pond. And the idea that this weird body of water was okay, this is okay, and I can actually skate on this thing. But you grow to realize that that's one of the best things about living out here is you have winter and you have two choices. You can either be stuck inside or you can use winter. And it's the people who realize, hey, you can get out and have a little bit of fun, whether you're skiing or skating, you name it. It's fun to see that you're sharing that with the girls. So, Coach, I know you have to get back to work, but as always, thank you for the time.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Lauren.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you. Bye.
That was Coach Glenn Fifield of the Bedford High Girls Hockey Program. It's funny. I remember having the exact same, like, the feeling after you, like, I'm like, I want to go play. Like, sign me up.
Yeah, and it was fun to hear.
I'm old and I'm a male, but I'll go, you know.
Yeah, and it was fun.
They'll skate circles around me.
It's fun to hear that last story about the returning player because she obviously had pride in the program where she's watching and she's anxious about how the team's going to perform. So that was a really fun thing to hear. And that, you know, we're only in year two, so that's just going to continue to grow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And it's also the neat thing for the college. We saw it at the basketball game a couple weeks ago. The kids who are in college who come back a year or 2 years after, like, they're coming back because they want to see the coach and they want to see friends, but they also, there's sort of an emotional investment in the program that you want to make sure that everything's okay after you left. And it seemed in the case of a senior that came back for last night's game, like, that was kind of what she was angling for. So, very cool, and certainly if you have an opportunity, get out, watch those girls play. There is a website, bedfordhockey.com, which has all the information about roster, upcoming games, you name it. So it's a group that can certainly use your support, and they would be happy to have anybody yelling, screaming. I don't know if they allow cowbells in the rink. But, yeah, anything you can do to go and show your support for the Bedford High girls hockey team, by all means, they will appreciate it. So we'll take a quick break and come right back with Bedford High ski coach Phil Axton. And you are listening to Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. Welcome back to Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. Lauren Fox and Andrew Hansen, and we are joined by Bedford High skiing coach Phil Axton. Coach, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. How are we doing today?
Doing great. We always love the enthusiasm. So for you, or for any of us, it's been kind of a weird ski year. How many days do you have in? And I know your home mountain is Pat's. Have you been anywhere but Pat's so far?
No, we started after Christmas on snow, the day after, and we've been hitting it hard at Pat's. Our first away race will be this coming next Friday at Gunstock.
Nice. Very cool. So a week from, we're recording on Friday, so a week from today, up at Gunstock, always a fun mountain to head out to. And for you, two races in, a good start to the season. The boys and girls both won their first two races. CJ Ledoux, who we know from his work on the golf course, he's won a couple of them, and Jessica Ryu won one on the girls' side. How does race season work as far as figuring out winners, losers, all that sort of stuff?
Especially with those two, they've been around the ski industry for a while, racing in club racing, high school racing, and with the experience, they know what to do, you know, in the certain courses. They're ski club races, the USSA racers. And then you have, like, the regular general public that come and race. Now, when you're racing USSA, it's like you're an individual, you're striving for points, you're going all out. It's either you're finishing or you're pretty much crashing. So they know when they come to the high school level, you're skiing about 80% at that point. Consistency in the high school level is the key. If you're a good skier and you get the experience, that's the key to any success with the high school program.
Wonderful. We're here with Phil Axton, the coach of the Bedford High Alpine Skiing Program, and the teams are doing well. Obviously, they've won their first couple races, but it's been a weird year for snow. It's been a slow start for the snow season, although I was up at Pat's last Saturday, which, even though it was raining out there, was in surprisingly good shape. How do you train skiers in the off season?
Well, I have an assistant coach, Jessica Fahey. She's actually still a racer, a USSA racer. And what we do is we'll model a like an Olympic athlete. And she picked a girl from Canada. I can't think of her name offhand. But we'll follow her dry land training to a T. And we take it to our kids. We start right after Thanksgiving, 3 days a week. And we have the nice stadium there or some hills we'll find. And we pretty much follow like an Olympic, their program, what they do during the off season. And there's a lot of team bonding also. We'll throw in some fun games at the end, that which they all like. And the high school ski racing is unique, where you or any team ski racing, it's different than when you're just, you know, skiing singularly. You need that, really, the team bonding. Everyone's pretty much going to get along, and it's a great atmosphere when you get through that, you know, with the different personalities.
Coach, in addition to the team building, what about with the individual technique? You know, what's your focus during the season on helping these kids improve their performance?
Well, like a lot of the kids that I've known, the returners, I kind of know how to push them when we're up at the gates, up at the start house. And I'm getting to learn the new kids, whether to fire them up or if they're a little shy, it may not be as abrupt. Take it a little bit down a notch. I know some are really, they'll get like butterflies, and I'll talk about whatever or something else other than skiing. When they're about to go within like 2 minutes of their run, I'll talk about if they have another interest, and I try to keep their mind off, because it's definitely gets in your head. If you watch someone in front of you crash, that's always something to worry about and everything else. So, you know, depending on each person, I try to, you know, try to develop a little relationship as far as what they need to do to get a good job down the course.
Here with Bedford High ski coach Phil Axton, and you're talking about the sort of individualized coaching you provide. Is there any opportunity to break down film with any of the skiers?
We're talking about that this year, because every now and then we'll get a rainy day, and they have this on the ski industry. We use coach's eye. You take an iPad and
right.
We'll do their runs. Usually what we do is, Coach Jesser and I will start. We at practice, they'll go down. We'll start at the start house, watch them from there. Then we'll go halfway, watch them individually, and then we'll go to the end, and then we'll critique, hey, you need to lean forward, your line's going to be a little bit more higher. But then we were talking about actually using the coach's eye. They use that in the USSA race, the club racers. They do that all the time so they can see exactly what they're doing wrong or what they're doing right.
It's amazing, you know? It's amazing what technology can do, because I've used that for coaching baseball as well, and the opportunity you have to really break somebody down and look at the various either arm angles, leg angles, you name it. I mean, you can really improve somebody simply by watching that.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's an unbelievable tool. Unbelievable.
So for you, of course, you inherit skiers with various equipment, uniforms. How much influence can you have on recommending whether somebody skis are tuned appropriately, the wax that they're using, whether they're wearing something that's going to cost them time, save them time? How much sway can you have over that?
Absolutely. For the general public, they just watch someone coming down the mountain. They're thinking they're on snow, but actually, if you went up to where they're going around the gates, a lot of times they inject water. It's ice. The firmer the snow or ice is, the better off. So with that, like you said, we need to really, the most important is the edges on your
yep.
skis. That's number one. A lot of these kids, that are the club races that are either doing it themselves or their parents are doing it, and you get down to like 3 degrees. There's different degrees and everything else as far as, you know, your edge control. And then your waxes on GS, your waxes are really important. GS is a giant slalom, so the turns are less, so you're gliding a lot more. And that's where you need the wax. And the different waxes definitely help. Every little bit helps. And you get into the GS suits, the study has shown that, you know, you can take off 1 or 2 seconds because of the resistance of the wind. And actually, they've gotten so slippery out there that they're actually putting restrictions on the suits now in the industry, because what's happening is they'll fall and they start sliding real fast. So now they're coming up with a fist suit that actually grips when you fall. But the equipment is key, definitely key. Every little bit helps a little bit more. obviously you need the race skis to do a little bit better. You don't absolutely need them. I have some non-USSA kids on the team. They have regular all-mountain skis, and they do very well. I have two park kids on twin tips, and they're hanging with the best of them. So,
nice.
It's not like you need it, but it definitely helps.
So for younger skiers who aspire to ski in high school quickly, because I know you have to go, what advice would you give them?
Just keep trying. It's a blast. The kids all, it's a huge bonding, especially when you're new into the high school, you're freshman, and you can't, and then you have your seniors. There's like little cliques and everything else. I try to break everything away from that, and I want them all unit as a team, and it's just unique compared to other sports. It is a team, but then it comes down to the individual. And, we have some up-and-coming freshmen that have been really showing well in the seniors and juniors, and they all like that. It's just it's a fun time. It's a great atmosphere. It's not like football where, everybody's taking their head off, or baseball. It's your team, but again, everybody is, scoring individually.
It's a challenge, but the kids are lucky to have the opportunity to do it, and they're lucky to have you be a part of it. Now, for you, what's your favorite mountain?
I go back and forth. I love them all. I'm an East Coast skier.
Yep.
And about 5 years ago, I went out west, Utah, and I'll tell you, I years ago I went to California, but I love Alta.
Yeah.
I gotta say. I got the bug. I never thought I was going to say that. I loved all. I like the Killingtons, the Sunday Rivers. The Gunstocks. I love Pats. I'm in that Pats all the time. My son, he's out this year. He got injured, so we won't see him on the rolls. Injured in football, but the thing I like about Pats is he's not huge line, and it's a very safe mountain. The kids there are really nice. I don't see a lot of sometimes you see a little bit of riffraff in some of the parks and stuff like that. But Pat's very clean, nice atmosphere, and a lot of people go skiing way up north, like Loon. I love Loon, but I don't like the lines. I keep waiting in line. And so, Pat's, you're up and down. It's a short mountain, but, I get a lot of ski runs in. So I like them all. They all offer something different.
It's awesome. All right, glad to hear it. Go to work, and as always, we appreciate the time.
All right, thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Thank you, Coach.
All right.
That was Bedford High ski coach Phil Axton, and we will take a quick break and come back. You're listening to Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. Hey, it's Lauren Fox, the host of Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. Andrew Hansen and I have the week off, so take a moment and enjoy some highlights from some of our past shows. Welcome back to Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. Lauren Fox, Andrew Hansen, and we are joined by Bedford High boys hockey coach Marty Myers. Coach, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, anytime. Pleasure to have you on. So, team is 7-0-1, the lone blemish to an 8-0, I guess, a tie to Londonderry. So, going into the season, it looked like you'd have a little bit of growing pains, but the team's really adjusted well. For you, who's stepped up as we're nearing the midway point of the season?
You know what? You're right. Going into the season, we did expect some growing pains. We lost a lot of talented players through graduation. But we have a couple of seniors this year that are on my top line, Parker Roberto, Jack Sylvain, and Jake San Clemente. They see a lot of ice time for us, and they're probably our most productive line at this particular time. So, I would say that those three boys are probably the line that has stepped up the most for us, and we have two young goaltenders this year. They're both sophomores, Ben Bernard and Shea Guimont. They've been kind of put in the fire this year for us, and they've done really, really well for us.
So for you this year, with a team like this, and of course you're pulling players in from a variety of different youth hockey programs. We've had this conversation with soccer coaches in the past too, but how do you make it so that when you pull in a variety of kids who have worked with a bunch of coaches with different philosophies over the years, that they're all rowing in the same direction, which is your direction?
You know what? That's the biggest trick, I think, for any coach at any level to do. Everyone has a different background. Everyone has a different style. here at our our program, right? We have a system that we want the kids to buy in. We think that we have a successful system once the kids buy in. But that's the trick every season, is to try to get these kids who have, you know, they come from different programs and have different styles and have been taught the same thing, but just a different way. We kind of bring them together, and we hope through the repetition and hope through, some success, that they understand that if they all work together, all pull together, you know, we truly have the common goal of winning as many games as we can.
Coach, you mentioned that first line and the success that they've had. Was that something you envisioned going into the season, or have you been changing the lines at all and trying to figure out the best chemistry with who's out on the ice with who?
Yeah, you know what, we start the season on who we think is going to work well together, and every year we always make changes, and again we always tell the kids, we make changes to make the team better, and this particular line, our top line, hasn't changed, but I can tell you that the other three lines below them have made changes to hopefully improve. And again, it's all about giving balance. We always want to have, you know, players on the ice that can put the puck in the net, but we always want those same players to have the ability to make sure that we make it tough for the opponent not to put it in our own net.
Joined here by Bedford hockey coach Marty Myers, and you mentioned putting it into our net as well. You've gotten good goalie play, and you mentioned the two goalies that have played well for you so far this season. But at times, those guys can be like the Maytag repairman, because the offense has really been overwhelming early in the season, and the goalies don't see as much in-game action as you'd really like them to. How do you ensure that that they stay fresh in a game where the puck is at the offensive end for a good portion of it?
Yeah, we talk about that. It is tough for goalies who are kind of staying idle in the back and kind of watching the play that's in front of them. We always try to tell them to stay engaged, because it's hard to sometimes to get engaged when you're not seeing as much action as you know they probably hope. But you know what, we try to balance it, and I say we balance it with the rotation of the two goalies. We ensure that during our practices that they get a lot of shots too, so when they're called upon in the game that they'll have the right reactions and the right game sense on what to do.
Makes a lot of sense. I can see how that would be a challenge for them too. I think Harry Kozlowski was doing one of the games last week, and I believe that Ben had a grand total of like three shots against him during the game. Was that right?
Yeah, we played against a younger team. They'll be an up and coming team in Division One. We played Bo, and they're new to Division One, and they have some young players. I expect that it won't take long for them to get up and running in Division One, because they've had such a successful program in Division Two. But yeah, Ben didn't see a lot of shots that particular game. Again, I always tell the goalies, I don't mind if they complain that they don't get enough shots, because that tells us that the rest of the team is working just as hard. So
that's good. That's true. So here with Coach Marty Myers of the Bedford High hockey program, and I think as a lousy hockey rec hockey player, way back when, people fail to realize until they've actually played hockey, it's not an easy sport. The combination of being able to skate and skate well and being able to stick handle, like all of these things added together creates a need for some really serious athleticism on the part of your players. What's the most amazing thing that you've seen one of your players do in a game or practice?
You know what? They never seem to. I say amaze me. They are. The game has changed from over the years, from more of a physical type of grind type of game to a much more quick finesse type of game. Players are going up and down the ice, and the skill sets now that these players at a young age have is very impressive. And we do a lot of things at our practices that try to try to emphasize some of their individual skills. And you know what, we have them do some stick handling stuff, some stick handling things. And just the other day we did something that we, did a drill where we did some puck weaving, which is some puck control. And at the end of the drill, we asked the kids to flip the puck and put it into a milk crate in the middle of the ice. And, some of the kids, it's something that you wouldn't normally do in a game. It involves a real good eye-hand coordination, and it was really amazing to watch how many of those kids could actually really do that.
Bunch of Drew Breeses out there in the ice.
Well, it's that level of skill and competition, and I'm sure you've seen it because I watch it on ESPN. When you see baseball players, ball gets hit up the middle, and the shortstop ranges to his left, fields it with the glove and just flips it to the second baseman who bare hands to turn a double play. Things like that you wouldn't have seen 20 years ago. But if you go to batting practice as an example and watch these guys and watch the drills that they're working on things that are along those lines because they've seen other guys do it and they want to emulate it. And I have a feeling that your players are probably along the same lines because you watch some of these guys dangle. If you're watching hockey highlights, and the things that they're doing are absolutely insane. And for kids that are rink rats, they see something and they say, well, I saw this guy do that. I wonder how I can do that myself.
That's very true. I think with what you just brought up with the ESPN Top 10 and the highlights and really YouTube. The kids are really into the social media, and they look up things. Everything can be looked up online, and these kids they look things up online. They'll see something, and they just try to either copy it or they put their own version to it. And it's amazing how creative some of these players are out there.
Here with Bedford High hockey coach Marty Myers. Of course, on the other side, we had talked to Coach Fifield recently. The girls' hockey team's in year two. How critical or how much does it help you that you have now, for all intents and purposes, twice as many people in the town who are talking about and playing hockey to continue to grow the game?
You know what? It is so important. It is it's so important to have this additional team join the high school ranks. It's only at its second year. Glenn has done an outstanding job with it. And like you said, it's just another way of growing the sport. We're very lucky that our athletic director, Corey Parker, and the principal, Hagen, is very supportive of not just the academics in the school, but the athletics in the school. And it just adds that other dimension of having these girls, giving them an opportunity to play, to play a sport. We see each other at the rink through our practices. We support each other, at each other's games. It's just another way of bringing the athletics and the school and the community together that really really makes this hockey program, in my opinion, stronger than it was just a few years ago.
It makes it a lot of fun. It makes it a lot of fun for those of us who are more casual fans of the game as well, just being able to see it and to talk about it too. For you, in all the years that you've been involved with the game, what's your favorite hockey moment that you've been part of?
You know what? That's a tough one, and I say it's a tough one because I've been fortunate. I've had a lot of good memories, but if I had a point to something, and I guess it'd have to go to the first. The first is usually the special. We were in Division I. This was back in 2011-2012 season. It was the first time that we ever made it to a final championship game. It was against Dover, and I think that we might have been the underdogs there, but we ended up winning our first title that year, and it just seemed like everything that season kind of came together for us. It really, our offense was struggling. We weren't scoring. Our defense wasn't that strong at that particular time, and we were getting a lot of goals against us. And I think at the time we only had one goalie. But as the season went on, our offense started to put points on the board. Our defense kept the other team out of the net. And the last game of the year, Steven Tempesta had probably his best game of the year. So it kind of all came together that year, and it was our first championship game, our first championship win, and that's probably one of the more special times that I've had with the hockey experience.
Well, yeah, you mentioned our good friend Steve Tempesta's oldest son, and it's always great to hear that. For you, too, it's got to be weird now because I think about Stevie and how long I've known both the elder and the younger. And, you know, I remember Stevie as a young teenager, and now you see the kid come back and kid's graduated and he's on his way to a graduate degree. How strange is it for you to see the players that you've coached through high school now come back almost as young men?
Makes me feel old.
Doesn't it though?
but I'll tell you, we do at the beginning of the season, we do an alumni game, and we have a very, very strong support from our alumni. And it's great to see these young men come back and not only support the program that they came from and support the current team that we have, but it really, truly is it's an honor to see the success that they're bringing to the community from when they come back from their colleges and they're actually working and they're really starting to make it out on their own. It's very special as a coach and to see these young men come back as truly starting to be established young contributors into the community that they play.
Well, we appreciate the role that you play in that, and we appreciate the fact that the town has two nice, strong hockey programs that they can point to. So, Coach Myers, thank you for your time, as always, and enjoy the rest of your Friday.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Hey, anytime.
Take care, Coach.
Hey, it's Lauren Fox, the host of Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. You've been listening to some of our past highlights. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we hope you have a wonderful sports week.